So, Kevin, I've been thinking this week. I think we should rename the end zone, but I'm thinking it's a different name for each of us.
What are you getting at? What are you getting at, man? What are you getting
at? Well, I think for me, for this rest of the season, the end zone should be called the Patrick Mahomes Show. And for you, it should be called the Quest for Number One.
I hate you right
now. Hey, I'm rooting for you guys to get the number one draft pick.
Remember when Indianapolis was sucking hard? It was suck for luck. Yeah. And it worked.
The problem is there's no Andrew Luck in this year's draft.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Who's that defensive guy you were talking about that decided to
Boza. Boza's younger healthy brother. Nick.
Yeah. Boza.
A lot of people could see him as a top three pick.
Let's lose a for Boza.
You gotta work on that.
So, can we get through any of these episodes without you man crushing on Patrick Mahomes?
He threw another four touchdowns, Kevin. Come on now. When he throws four interceptions and not four touchdowns, then you can go to town. But
I have a love hate.
Well,
for
you
that
saw
guy.
The great pictures of him with the Wake of Mish Foundation kids, right?
No, I did not.
I posted it on my Facebook page. Jennifer sent them to me.
I chose not to see that.
Well, I'm sorry. And I have to do a quick shout out too, because Kareem Hunt made like the Matrix again this week too. And you should be happy about that. You have him in fantasy.
I do have him in fantasy. He was just a plug and play, and you just forget about it until it's bye week.
Exactly. So, of course, it is the end zone, and we're here this week to wrap up week 8 and take a look ahead to week 9. But before we do that, let's tell you where you can find not only the end zone, but all the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And it starts at fpnet.podbean.com, which is the home of our master feed. Of course, if you're using a mobile device, you can always use the Podbean app and just search for the Fandom Podcast Network. Or you can find us also by searching the Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play for you Android device users, and now as well on Spotify.
Woohoo, Spotify!
So we are very excited to be partnering up with Spotify going forward as a new place where you can find the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us. Let us know about our mediocre but great fantasy football advice at fandompodcastnetwork @gmail.com. Of course, you can follow us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can find me on Twitter at PatrickMahomes15. Oh, wait. Nope. Sorry. That would be A. Kyle W. Or on Instagram at Chiefs Super Bowl or A. Kyle Fandom. Kevin, where can people find you on the social media?
Shoot me now.
I don't think they'll let you have that on Twitter.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Spartan_Phoenix.
Hashtag the quest for number one.
Unfortunately, yes.
Hey, I'm trying to give you something positive to root for your team, Kevin.
We are looking forward to the future, I think.
Because the future is the future, and it isn't now.
Well, Al Davis has always said, you know, the greatness in the Raiders is their future or something like that. And it's like, when's the future?
Be the president.
Now.
Yeah. I think a few Raider fans are asking that. But let's go ahead and do a quick wrap-up of Week 8 and the scores from Week 8. So, Kevin, you're shaking your head no. Bear with me.
Jeez.
Yeah, Week 8 was an interesting week. There were some weird things that happened in Week 8. Let's start with the Thursday night game, which I think Deshaun Watson's back, Kevin.
Yep. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess five, so. Defense, yeah, too.
Five touchdown passes for Deshaun Watson as the Texans beat the Dolphins 42-23. And, of course, then Sunday morning, London. Sir Blake Bortles was not Sir Blake Bortles this time around as the Eagles beat the Jaguars in a very boring, sloppy game, 24-18.
Hashtag Kyle hates Blake Bortles.
Yep, absolutely. The Panthers are legit, Kevin, because they manhandled the Ravens 36-21, and the game wasn't even that close.
It was at Ravens, wasn't
it? No, it was in Carolina.
It was at Carolina. Yeah, they did. Yeah. Right.
The Chicago Bears, Tariq Cohen with a huge game, 6 touches, 110 yards from scrimmage as they beat the New York Jets 24-10.
Okay, the Bears are not supposed to be doing well this year.
Yeah, well, it's that defense, and Mack didn't even play. And this week they've got Buffalo with Nathan Peterman starting.
I hope Buffalo can do what they did to Minnesota.
It's Nathan Peterman starting, Kevin. No, not happening. But
that's true.
The Buccaneers looked like they were going to get blown out, and then there might have been a little magic involved, but they came back, almost sent the game to overtime, and lost 37-34 to the Cincinnati Bengals. But, the big news.
Jameis Winston got benched.
He should have got benched from the way that played. But we'll talk about more of that in a little bit. But moving on, the Seattle Seahawks handled the Detroit Lions 28-14. Russell Wilson's really good at football. I think most people know this.
That score surprised me. I mean, that could have gone either way, obviously. But, they did manhandle them. And Seahawks they're kind of on a little roll right now.
They're a feisty bunch.
Yes, they are.
Kansas City swept the Broncos again. Their 7th straight win over the Denver Broncos, winning 30-23. But in the score,
when you say swept, they've already played earlier this year.
Yeah, they've already played twice. Go figure. The Kansas City hasn't even played the Raiders yet.
Yeah.
So, weird scheduling. Thank you, NFL. In the battle for the NFC East, the Washington Redskins win 20-13 over the New York Giants.
Hold on. Back it up. Back it up. This was not a battle for the NFC East. Giants aren't in the NFC East right now.
But are they in the bottom feeders, cellar dwellers?
Yeah, pretty much. This was just a notch in the Redskins cap.
Pretty much, yeah. The Pittsburgh Steelers manhandling the Cleveland Browns 33-18. This was not a good game for the Browns.
I wonder if anything happened after that game.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But shout out to James Conner, 2 more rush TDs and for the 3rd straight game. He had 2 rush TDs, and he was also named the AFC Offensive Player of the Month. Le'Veon who, Kev?
Le'Veon who?
Exactly. I got to say this real quick to the Browns, too. The Browns have played like 5 overtime games already this season. I think it's starting to catch up with them a little bit. They just look like a dead-on-their-feet football team.
Yeah, so, they got to be a tired team.
In a game with no defense played at all, the Indianapolis Colts won't beat your Oakland Raiders 42-28, Kevin.
Another example of the Raiders not being able to close out the second half.
I got to ask you this because I was actually a little shocked by this. This was the first game since 2015 that Derek Carr had a passer rating over 90.
he has a good passer rating thing going on. I mean, when you look at his stats, he's good. Yeah. There's just other stuff that around
it's
him.
It's the interceptions that's killing off his passer rating in games right now.
Yeah, especially when you do it on first down and you do it in the end zone.
The Arizona Cardinals beat the San Francisco 49ers 18-15. Big thing out of this was, of course, the first game is with Byron Leftwich as the new offensive coordinator for the Cardinals. And I like some of the things I saw the Cardinals do. They got a lot of work to do. Their offensive line is terrible.
Did they play David Johnson correctly?
He was catching passes out of the backfield. So
did Larry Fitzgerald catch a pass?
Larry Fitzgerald had 100 yards, over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown.
There you go. Jeez, that's what should have been happening all year. And if that would have been happening, I would still have a certain wide receiver on my team in fantasy, but I don't anymore.
In the game of the week, the Rams stay unbeaten, beating the Packers 29-27, but the Packers gave the Rams everything they can
handle.
Hold on.
That is not the game of the week. I'm gonna disagree with you on that.
You don't think it was the best game of the week?
No.
Are you going with Saints-Vikings? Because
yes!
I wasn't really impressed with either team in that game that much.
But I was more excited for that one than I was.
Anticipation coming in, but as far as how the game played out, I think Rams Packers was definitely the more exciting game. And
okay, fine.
And well, the most exciting game of the week involves 2 of the 4 teams we were just talking about in it for the upcoming week. And then on Monday night, I got to give the Buffalo Bills credit. They hung with the Patriots for a half, and then really defensive touchdowns. They shut down Tom Brady as the Patriots beat the Bills 25-6. I feel sorry for Buffalo fans. They don't deserve this. But You know what I am glad to see is they are not jumping down Sean McVay's throat for this mess. The Buffalo Bills have $50 million in dead salary cap money this season, Kevin.
That's a lot. Who are they paying?
They're paying like guys who haven't all these contracts from the previous regime that they've cut or traded or something. They just decided that it was time to rip off the Band-Aid and get this money off. So next year they're going to have a ton of salary cap space. But yeah, they have $50 million of dead salary cap money this year.
Wow, that sounds like the Raiders several years ago. When I last checked the score for this, it was like 12-6 Patriots.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and I'm like, wow, okay. And the Patriots were favored by like, what was 15 points. Yeah. I'm like, okay, all right. Go Bills. Let's see what happens there. And then I look at it going 25-6 final score. Oh, geez.
Yeah. So, but let's, that kind of wraps up the scores of week 8, but let's talk a little power rankings, Kevin. So when we go to the power rankings, Rams still at number 1, undefeated. Perfect sense. I got to give the Saints after beating the Vikings number 2. I can't argue with that point. Patriots in at number 3. Of course, these are the CBSSports.com power rankings. Kansas City in at number 4. I would put Kansas City ahead of the Patriots at this point.
Patriots beat them, though.
Yeah, but still, I think Kansas City is a better team at this point. The Chargers coming in at number 5. This is seeming to be the year where the Chargers are at least not being fully the Chargers.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 6, the Steelers, who are turning around. Number 7, the Redskins. That team can play some defense. This is the Alec, what I'm going to call the Alex Smith effect. He's going to make your team better, but he's going to make your team good enough to make the playoffs and then not do anything in the playoffs. Number 8, and I think they should probably be higher than either the Redskins or the Steelers, it's the Carolina Panthers. No?
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Number 9, the Minnesota Vikings, that feels about right. Number 10, the Baltimore Ravens. And then the next 5, you've got the Packers at 11, the Bengals at 12, the Texans at 13, Seahawks at 14, and the Bears at 15. Eagles 16, Falcons 17, Colts 18, Lions 19, Dolphins 20. And after that, then we really don't want to talk about those things because it makes Kevin sad. So those are our power rankings.
Okay, hold on a sec. So you think the Chiefs should be above the
Patriots.
The Patriots.
Better record.
Even though the Patriots beat your Chiefs.
Even though the Patriots.
Why?
Well, the Patriots won't beat Kansas City on a last play of the game kind of thing. Kansas City has a better record. Kansas City has had a much tougher schedule.
Only by one game. Yeah. Only better record by only one game.
Kansas City has the best record in the AFC. And Kansas City's schedule to this point has been much tougher than the Patriots' schedule.
Your Chiefs have beat the Chargers, have beat the Steelers, beat the Niners, have beat the Broncos, beat the Jaguars, beat the Bengals, beat the Broncos again, and then you're going against the Chiefs.
We got the Browns this week.
I'm sorry, you're going against the Browns, you're going against the Cardinals, the Rams, the Raiders twice. Chargers again, and the Seahawks.
And Baltimore as well is in there.
Is it?
Yeah, I believe that's week 14 or 15.
Yeah. Okay.
But
really? Why am I not seeing Baltimore on your schedule? Oh, there it is. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
While the Patriots are playing the Dolphins, the Bills, the Jets.
Well, that's all their own. That's all their own division. So yeah, I mean they have that. But I mean, they're what are they playing? The Packers, of course. Who else are doing? Okay, so they're playing. Let's hold on. I want to look at this real quick. So I want to combine your schedules here. So you've got, Patriots beat the Texans, lost to the Jaguars, lost to the Lions. Patriots beat the Dolphins, the Colts. Your Chiefs beat the Bears, and they beat the Bills.
And let's remember, and then we beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's true. But Jacksonville is not Jacksonville this year, so let's be clear about that.
Which makes it a worse loss for the Patriots that they lost to Jacksonville.
Good point. Patriots are playing Vikings, Steelers. I'm looking at other teams outside of the division, the Titans. So, interesting. I don't know. I think you guys have a... when it comes to strength of schedule, I think you guys have a similar schedule.
Yeah, but I'm just going. I'm going to games played right now. Through the games they've played.
I think the AFC Championship is definitely going to probably go through New England, though.
We'll see. There's a we have the game lead
because they have the tiebreaker.
That is something I'm concerned about because I am concerned about the Monday night game in Mexico City against the Rams. I'm not. I would be.
You guys are playing Mexico City for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but let's talk a little NFL news, Kevin, because we had the trade deadline and we actually had some players move during the trade deadline.
Had quite a bit.
Yeah, there was really four big moves. And it started with a trade I think is great for both teams. And that is Demaryius Thomas getting traded to the Houston Texans for some couple of draft picks. I think in Denver's side, they know that their season is just about done. They have a young receiver in Cortland Sutton who is really developing. And Demaryius Thomas is on the books next season for $14 million.
I got a question for you, though, about this trade, which I find odd. Okay so yes. I think it's a good pickup for Houston after they lost Will Fuller. Mm-hmm. But why? Okay, so there's the deadline. But, I mean, why to these guys knowing they're going to play him the following week?
And what's even more funny is it's in Denver, and Denver's going to honor Demaryius Thomas at halftime.
So Demaryius Thomas, apparently he did go to Houston to meet stuff, but now he's going back to Denver for the game.
Yeah, this is what I call a not wise decision. And you know what, Kevin? I'm going to say this.
But there is a deadline for the trade, yeah. But you know.
I'm going to say this now, and I think some people might disagree with me. I've come under the impression and decision that John Elway, not the greatest GM in the NFL.
So far, yeah.
Other than signing Peyton Manning.
Well, you know what? He was the GM when Peyton came to town, and that did well for a while. But
otherwise, I mean, Keenum hasn't really lived up to his potential. They've had a lot of busts at draft picks, so we'll see what happens. But I think this is a trade that surprised me was the Detroit Lions trading Golden Tate to the Philadelphia Eagles. I love this move for the Eagles.
I do too. I don't love it because it's on my fantasy league, and I don't think that Golden Tate's going to get the love that he got being a Detroit wide receiver. This was weird to me. Did they really need another receiver?
They really kind of did. Their receiver depth is thin. You remember they signed Mike Wallace, and he broke his leg. He's done for the season. Alshon Jeffrey's finally healthy and playing, but after that, they only really had Nelson Aguilar. They didn't really have a lot of good receiver depth.
And Zach Ertz.
Oh, that's tight end. But I mean, still, they needed a little bit of receiver depth, and I think Golden Tate is going to benefit from playing with Carson Wentz. So a move I really liked was the Rams getting Dante Fowler Jr. from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dante Fowler Jr.'s kind of not been that spectacular for Jacksonville, but he's behind a lot of people in Jacksonville too. He going to where Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh is going to keep him in line, and he can just play and pass rush next to those two guys. He could have a good, really good second half of the season for the Rams.
That was a good ad. I'm trying to figure out what Jaguars defense isn't what they were last year.
I think egos on the Jaguar defense kicked in, and I think Dante Fowler was a big one of those. The other one being Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
So. And then an interesting trade, and I actually like this trade for Washington, too. I was kind of hoping there were some rumors Kansas City might have gone after him, and I would have loved to see him in a Chiefs uniform. The Packers traded Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, greatest name, one of the best names in the NFL, to the Washington Redskins for some draft picks. That's a great pairing of safeties with him and DJ Swearinger in Washington. They're going to make a nice combination there. This was basically the Packers didn't think they were going to be able to re-sign him at the end of the season, so get something for him without lose before they lost him for nothing.
The Washington defense has been playing pretty good, too.
Yeah, they're really good, in fact. So, Washington is my favorite going forward to win the NFC East. I think they've got just enough. And
them and Philadelphia.
So, Kevin, I think it's that point in the program where we have to bring up something. It used to be the big curse in football was the Madden curse. You get on the cover of Madden, bad things happen to you. Not anymore. It is definitely the Hard Knocks curse. Because after losing to Pittsburgh, Coach Hugh Jackson, who probably should have never come back in this season anyway, was fired. Now, Kevin, I know you have some personal experience with Hugh Jackson from his year with the Raiders, which I know wasn't a big hit with the fans.
Not necessarily. No, there's a lot of people that liked Hugh Jackson. A lot of it has to do with the way that he responded to when Al Davis passed away, and they ended up having that fantastic win in Houston on that final play where the Raiders only had 10 guys on the field and were able to get that touchdown. But, you know, his tenure there was so short, it was really hard to kind of, you know, I guess judge that. But you're right about this Hard Knocks curse, because Jeff Fisher of the Rams didn't last after that. But, I mean, when you look at some of the decision-making and what was going on, I could see the owner and CEO of the Browns going, come on, man. And it's little things like not playing Duke Johnson, you know, for the amount of money you're paying him. You know, something has to change, I guess. And but what I liked more was Todd Haley getting let go.
Yeah, I
think he was a big reason why things didn't quite the offense didn't quite gel. Maybe I'm speculating here.
First of all, we saw it in Hard Knocks. If I would have been Hugh Jackson, or Greg Williams, I would have decked Todd Haley at some point during Hard Knocks.
Yeah, Todd Haley was a jerk.
I have experience with Todd Haley. He was the head coach for Kansas City for a couple of seasons and got fired basically for his attitude issues. And then he always was tenuous when he was the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. It was always talked about that him and Roethlisberger did not get along that well. I watched the last couple Brown games. They were going to get Baker Mayfield killed the way they were calling plays. And, you know,
is there something specific you're referring
to? Just they weren't blocking for him, and just it was just it felt like they weren't developing Baker Mayfield. And I also look at the fact that I think Hugh Jackson was letting the inmates run the asylum a little bit. And I'm not even talking about the players. I'm talking about the assistant coaches. The whole Duke Johnson thing, Duke Johnson's a good back, but they're very high on Nick Chubb, and he's a rookie, and they got to see what they've got with him. But Duke Johnson, there's no reason.
It took too long to get Nick Chubb in there.
Yeah, way too long. But Duke Johnson's one of those players. He should be out in the slot. You run into running backs and have him motioning out to the slot. He's too good of a receiver not to do that. But here's the thing that I laugh more about this than anything, because the Cleveland Browns named defensive coordinator Greg Williams their interim head coach. This is the same Greg Williams who a few years ago was suspended from the NFL for Bounty Gate.
Is that the one with the Saints?
Yes, where he was the defensive coordinator for the Saints and instituting bounties to go after people.
Yeah, I remember this. I forgot that was him. I just remember Sean Payton getting suspended.
Yes, but yeah, Greg Williams. So yeah, great job there, Cleveland. You still can't get it right, and I feel bad because there's some good young talent on that team that doesn't deserve this mess. So... and more of a happy, I think this is a great story. Fitzmagic is back, Kevin. The beard is back.
Yay. The beard is back.
Jameis Winston, who he put up some passing yards and numbers, but remember, he missed the first three and a half games of the season. He was already tied for the league in interceptions before this game, but by the time he got pulled from this game, Kevin.
Yeah, what I found interesting as a fantasy fact was that no matter who's throwing for Tampa Bay, they seem to put up numbers.
Yeah, they are just putting up numbers left and right on the passing game. I will say this, from what I've watched of Jameis Winston, and of course I see a lot of the games being here in Tampa, he has a very bad habit of overthrowing his receivers or always throwing high. If you look, his receivers constantly are having to jump to catch the ball, and I'm surprised he hasn't gotten more people injured. So, but it's fun to see Ryan Fitzpatrick back. I think he will be the starter, barring getting injured or having a really, really bad game. But I think it's a signal to Jameis Winston's time in Tampa Bay might be done. So, one really big injury we need to talk about, and that is, you brought it up a little bit earlier, was Will Fuller, the wide receiver from the Houston Texans, blowing out his ACL. He's done for the season. That was a big blow to the Texans. He was their big deep threat guy.
Yeah, that's a big loss, but hence why they got Demaryius Thomas. Yep,
exactly. So let's take a look at week 9, Kevin, because we've got some interesting games on the docket in week 9. Thursday night, the quest for number one continues, and this is a big one for it, as Oakland is at the San Francisco 49ers.
And as of we're recording right now, we are recording on Thursday night, and the kickoff is in about 20 minutes. Now, this is one of those games for Bay Area fans. No matter what the score is, or the, you know, what the records are, this is like the Bay Area Super Bowl. And what's interesting, you know, in fact, right now, going into this game, of all the times the Raiders have played the 49ers in the regular season, there's been some memorable games. The Raiders have a one-game lead over the overall record. So the Raiders will either go out with a tie or they'll go out staying on top as the Battle of the Bay winner here. And so it's kind of silly to say this with a losing team this year. If we win this, it'll be kind of like winning a mini Super Bowl for the Raiders. It's kind of a pride game, you know?
You know, what I always remember about the Raiders was kind of at the beginning of the 90s, where they raided a lot of the classic San Francisco 49ers players from the Montana era, when they brought in Jerry Rice and Ronnie Lott and Roger Craig and all of that. And they were kind of like, what? You're trying to be the 80s 49ers? But, you know, neither here nor there. Interesting game, Detroit at Minnesota. This game could be a little interesting. Detroit probably playing for their playoff lives at this point. We have Kansas City playing at Cleveland. Talk about Cleveland, not about the last team you want to see coming to town for Cleveland after all the upheaval this week.
Are you worried at all?
Not particularly.
As a team?
Not particularly. No. But what's been very fun about this is a lot of people have been reminiscing about the classic college football game between Texas Tech and the Oklahoma Sooners, where Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield played each other in that game and combined to throw 17 touchdowns in one game.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's funny. Wow. So who won that game?
I believe Oklahoma won that game.
Who was on that
team? That was Baker's team. Oklahoma was a much more talented team than Texas Tech, but
gotcha.
In a slugfest game, and these games are always chippy, Pittsburgh goes to Baltimore.
Okay.
We've got
those are always hard fought games.
Yep.
A lot of attrition in the trenches. Yeah.
The Fitzmagic returns only to face one of the hottest teams in the league, Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, the Fitzmagic is going to have to go run overtime on this one to stay competitive.
The New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins. No Ryan Tannehill again for the Dolphins. Brock Osweiler, the Brook of Brock, will continue in this game. This is one of those games. Yeah, okay, whatever. Atlanta at Washington. This is an interesting game because Atlanta has been spry all season. They just can't play defense, and Washington can really play defense. So this is strength versus strength here.
Atlanta's coming off a bye, somewhat rested, with the exception of Devontae Freeman, who's on IR. I'm really curious about the running back situation there in Atlanta with Ito and
Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears go to Buffalo and get the biggest gift of all early in the holiday season, because Nathan Peterman will be the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, as Josh Allen is still hurt and Derek Anderson is in concussion protocol.
They also picked up a quarterback, Buffalo did too. What, I can't remember the guy's name.
Oh, I saw that and I was like, yeah, it's not going to be pretty no matter what.
Nathan Peterman, I can't believe he has a job still. Jeez.
I mean, the Chicago defense must be going, wow, Christmas came early this year.
Yum, 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 yum.
And again, a game we talked about earlier. This is the Demaryius Thomas revenge game. The Houston Texans are at the Denver Broncos. Yeah.
Denver is favored by one.
I don't see how that
happens. Why is that?
That's one of those Vegas lines I have no idea about.
I thought Houston might be favored by one. I mean, I think it's going to be a close game, but that doesn't
Houston's rolling right now. And if Deshaun Watson is starting to become the Deshaun Watson of last season, look out. That is not a team you're going to want to play. The Chargers going up to Seattle to play a very interesting Seattle Seahawks team that if nothing else, it looks like they found a legit running back.
Yeah. Yep.
Chris Carson running up.
Chris Carson. Yep. And they're determined to run the ball too.
To me, the game of the week, Kevin, 4:25 start, the LA Rams at the New Orleans Saints. This is the game.
I am going to agree with you on that.
I think this might be the end of the Rams' undefeated streak.
A lot of people are predicting that.
So, and then the Sunday night game. Who will Chris Collinsworth might self-combust because who can he man crush over? Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Oh, man. I kind of just want to check in for that.
And Monday Night Football, nobody cares. You have bad announcing, and you have the Tennessee Titans at the Dallas Cowboys.
You nailed it there, man.
Though there might be some Raider fan interest to see how Amari does in his Dallas debut.
This is true. He is making his debut on national television, but it's going to be hard to sit through it because those announcers suck. Yes.
So, well, with that, that's our preview of Week 9. And before we get into giving our trademark mediocre fantasy football advice, we've got a little promo here for you to tell you about all the great things here on the Fandom Podcast Network. So take a listen, and then Kevin and I will be right back with our Man Crush Award.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. Also, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we discuss all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating the cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. The End Zone, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery and the Orville podcast. The Hair Metal podcast, if you're a hard rock music fan, the Hair Metal podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, as we discuss all things Doctor Who, past and present. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Master Feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network. On Instagram, we are at Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and support the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Well, we hope you're checking out some of those other great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network, Kevin. But it's time to give mediocre fantasy football advice. And as always, it starts with taking a look back and giving our Jimmy GQ Man Crush Award. And I said last week that Patrick Mahomes was retired from winning this award for the rest of the season. Kevin, I want to make it official, make Adam Thielen retired from winning this award for the rest of the season, too. He had another 100-yard game.
Yeah, you're right. I got my Man Crush Award in with him already, so yeah, we can retire for him for this year.
So, do you have a Man Crush, or would you like me to go first?
You go first. I'm kind of thinking about a couple of them here, but go ahead.
I am going with the old man for my Man Crush Award this week, Adrian Peterson, who had a monster game against the New York Giants and looked like the Adrian Peterson of Minnesota Viking days. I thought this guy was done. I thought the fork was in him, and he is proving everybody wrong. So as far as my Man Crush of the Week, Adrian Peterson, you are the man right now.
My Man Crush is going to go with I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins this week. More based on what he's been doing. I know he's lost some games, but his team is still competitive. And why I find him interesting is my Man Crush Award because I had Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins on my roster, and I had to decide between those two guys which one to start because they were playing against each other. And I went with my gut and decided to go with Kirk Cousins, and I made the right decision. This guy gets 3 years, $80 million guaranteed, all guaranteed money. If he keeps playing like this, it's going to be a pretty damn good contract there. He's been rolling. I mean, he comes into a new team. It's not like he had a big adjustment, you know. He's
Yes, Adam Thielen is getting a lot of his passes, but you know, other people are as well. And without a Dalvin Cook, you know, being able to stay in the line, I think they're doing pretty darn good. So, and I got to give it to Cousins for coming in there and doing well.
Yeah, and I got to throw out an honorable mention to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who did come in the middle of the third quarter and led the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to a 16-point comeback. Even though they didn't win the game, it wasn't on Fitzpatrick. That Tampa Bay's defense is terrible and can't stop anybody. But good.
That is a good choice, yeah.
So, but Kevin, it's also time to expel from Fantasy Island. They don't get the plane. They got to swim back to the mainland. But this one's easy for me this week. Jameis Winston, you are expelled from Fantasy Island.
I didn't choose him because it's too easy. You know, it's funny, though, when you you know how – do you get those little updates on your app phone?
Yeah.
Like it's, I think it's like on the Yahoo one where it says roster update. Yeah. And it shows you, like, Jameis Winston has been dropped by over 6,000 leagues or something like that. And I'm going, why? Did he get hurt? And I'm going, oh, he got taken out of the game. But, no, that's a good pick. Now, I got someone that I can't quite expel. But is there an area on the island, like a jail or something, that I could put this guy in until – But then I got to go, well, because it's injury, I can't do it.
Well, who have you got?
If it's But I got to show my frustration for Dalvin Cook.
Oh, yeah. Well now, wait.
I think part of it has to do – I'm not going to expel him, but part of it I think has to do when they tried to push him too early because they didn't let the guy heal.
Here's the thing. I have an update about here. The Vikings have said he will return as a starter after their bye week, that he will be ready.
Yeah, they're finally going to just sit him and, you know, rest him and just wait till so we have week 9 this week. Week 10 is the bye for Minnesota, and then he comes back week 11. And it's not like – I mean, this guy's just been a dead spot on my bench, but it's not like you can get rid of him because if he's going to come back healthy, wouldn't you pick him up on the waiver wire going into week 11?
Yeah.
If he was sitting there?
I would, but I don't think a lot of people have waived him. I think a lot of people handcuffed him with Latavius Murray and have just been riding it out until he comes back. But
it sucks not having Latavius Murray. I have Latavius Murray in another league, but I don't have Dalvin Cook.
Well, I have that too. But I've had that problem with Jacksonville. In our ESPN league, I have Leonard Fournette, and he's just never going to be healthy. But I have TJ Yeldon, but now they're saying Jacksonville will bring Leonard Fournette back after their bye week. So
I did drop what's his name, that other young receiver for Chicago that did really well, and then he stopped.
Taylor Gabriel. Speaking of that, I'm bringing somebody back to Fantasy Island, Kevin.
Hold on. I just want to say I'm going to expel Taylor Gabriel for right now. So go ahead. Who are you bringing back?
I am bringing Sammy Watkins back to Fantasy Island.
Oh, gosh. That's painful because not only is it Sammy Watkins, he's a chief. Oh.
Two games now over 100 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns. And if you go back and look at his fantasy points, if you are in a PPR or yardage league, he has actually been, outside of the Denver game where he hurt his hamstring, been at least an average score. But now it seems like he's kind of getting on the same page with everybody else, with Mahomes, and it's getting a little scary. And yeah, so Sammy Watkins,
he's been a pain in my arse for so long.
Yeah, I don't know. He's been a pain in a lot of people's arse for so long. So, but
he's still expelled in Fantasy Island because I don't want to pick him up.
Well, let's talk about hot waiver wire pickups for this week, Kevin.
Who do you got?
Well, I have Ryan Fitzpatrick. A lot of people dropped him when Jameis came back. It's time to get on board and bring him back. Another one, somebody who's always been, I think, a little under the radar in this very weak tight end position this year. He came back from injury for the first time this season last week and only had a couple catches, but was thrown to a few times and did get a touchdown. And I think he's going to get more involved as the weeks go on, and that's Ed Dixon, the tight end for the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, that's right. Didn't he used to play for Baltimore? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
One more. A lot of people had him on their roster, but in some leagues, people had cut him because they weren't quite sure. But Cortland Sutton of the Denver Broncos, now that Demaryius Thomas is traded, he's going to be a starter. It's time to go there. And finally,
Ito Smith. I got to put Ito Smith out there. I know we've touched on him before, but get Ito Smith.
I got to throw Devontae Parker, wide receiver, Miami Dolphins. A lot of people gave up on him. Kenny Stills is hurt. Albert Wilson is hurt. He had a big game against Houston on Thursday night, and I think it's going to continue because there's really nobody else besides Danny Amendola to throw the football to in Miami.
Six teams are on buys right now, so you got to pick up some of these people. Also, DJ Moore has now become, like, you know, next to Devin Funches, the 1-2 punch for Carolina in the wide receiver core.
I do have two. This is kind of an interesting thing. I want to say Jamal Williams of the Green Bay Packers. A lot of people cut him because they had Montgomery and Aaron Jones. Montgomery's gone now. Montgomery was traded to the Baltimore Ravens, where he will be lost behind Buck Allen and Alex Collins in that mess at running back situation. Aaron Jones is going to be the starter, but it's very obvious they're going to use Jamal Williams in short yardage situation and goal line situation. So he might be one of those guys. He might be good for a short touchdown a week or something like that. So keep your
eye. I know we mentioned last week, but also Tyrell Williams. Also coming off a bye, he might be available in a bunch of leagues. He's done some big most of his plays have been long catch weird plays type of thing for a touchdown, you know. But I think he's gaining the trust from his quarterback a lot more, and I think you're going to see Philip Rivers throwing a lot his way.
Yeah, I agree.
Jack Doyle, tight end, too. Here's another tight end thing. Tight ends are hurting. The tight ends for Indianapolis did quite well against the Raiders last week. Yeah. But I think Jack Doyle is an option, too, if you're hurting for a tight end.
Well, and he's finally back healthy. Another tight end, Dallas Goedert from the Philadelphia Eagles. They're starting to kind of use those two tight ends since classic of the Patriots days when they had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. So that he might be.
Is it time to pick up Cole Beasley? He's been pretty good. Is his production going to hurt from a certain wide receiver from Oakland coming into town?
No, I think he's actually going to help Cole Beasley because he's gonna get more attention. I think it's gonna open up Cole Beasley more in the secondary to make some moves. So
Cooper and Cole. Yeah. All right.
Cooper Cole. It's kinda like Cooper Kupp.
Have you picked up Marquez Valdez Scantling in any leagues?
Not yet.
Do we need to start taking him seriously?
Not yet. He needs to prove it one more. Let's remember Randall Cobb just came back healthy too. So
what about David Moore in Seattle? He's getting some love.
Seattle's such a weird team, man. There's nobody outside of Chris Carson and Russell Westbrook. There's nobody who I would be real heavy to rely on in Seattle.
Willie Snead in Baltimore?
Like, same thing. Baltimore's weird. Crabtree was really hot for a while. Snead's kind of picking it up. But yeah, again, Baltimore's a weird football team. So
Kiki Cutie.
Keep an eye on him. He's gonna catch a lot of balls in the slot now, and he's kind of probably Houston's gonna become Houston's possible new deep threat.
He's nursing a hammy right now, so we'll see. Or I think it's a hammy. Yeah. But yeah, it'll be interesting. It's his stock went down a little when Demaryius came to town, but we'll see.
So, well, let's talk about our fantasy leagues, Kevin, because the NFL league is awesome. I love the NFL league.
Would that be because you're winning it right now?
That does help.
You are number one in that league. But it's still not over yet, though.
No, but it's...
So you're number one right now at 7-1. Uh-huh. Batmouse Ballers is at 6-2. But I'm at number three at 4-4.
Okay, here's the thing I want to say, though, because I'll be the first to admit this. The Batmouse Maulers are a stacked football.
Ballers.
They're a stacked fantasy football team. Matt Ryan, Melvin Gordon, James Conner, Tyreek Hill, Keenan Allen, and Emmanuel Sanders, with Adrian Peterson on his bench, as well as Tre'Quan Smith, who's been catching a lot more in air for New Orleans. That is a very scary football team. Connor and Melvin Gordon together. That's quite the combo.
That is a good 1-2 punch. But you've got Todd Gurley and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep, and Christian McCaffrey. I just picked up Sammy Watkins. I have Travis.
Dude, your bye week for your Chiefs is going to hurt you.
Not as bad as you would think, because right now Tom Brady is my backup quarterback.
Jeez, and you got Chris Carson and Aaron Jones. Nice.
So, and they're riding pine for me right now. So, yeah. And I have Golden Tate, who's on bye as well. And let's see what happens with him in Philly. So, but the mess of the leagues that you and I are both in It's got to be our ESPN league, Kevin.
Why do you call it a mess?
Have you looked at the standings lately?
Yes, I have. This is the league that we have, the East and West. And in the East, at tied for 5-3 is the first down order and Juice is loose. And then there's a four-way tie for 3rd through 5th. And you and I are both at 4-4. And in the West, Walla Walla Webfoots, my buddy Charles, is at 5-3. My buddy Bob's at 4-4. And everyone else is at 3-5.
Now, I have to say this about fantasy football this year, now that we're kind of to the halfway point of the season. Everybody's talking about the lack of tight ends. Is it just me, or is the wide receiver position really thin this year?
Yes, the wide receiver is thin because there's been a lot of injuries and a lot of less than stellar production as well.
But you have quarterbacks putting up huge numbers. That's the crazy part.
I haven't had a problem with any quarterbacks this year that I haven't been able to fix by picking someone up the waiver wire. Of course, one of the things that I did as a GM in my leagues was that I made sure that you cannot have more than 2 quarterbacks on your team. So that helps.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at my ESPN team. I've got my quarterbacks I'm feeling really good about. I have Patrick Mahomes and I have Deshaun Watson. My running backs, I've got Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, Leonard Fournette, when he gets healthy. I also have T.J. Yeldon. I also have Aaron Jones as well. When I look at my wide receivers, I'm looking at Julian Edelman, Marquise Goodwin, Allen Robinson, and Larry Fitzgerald.
I've had some couple of bad weeks of mispairing or whatever it is, but I got a decent team too. I got Kirk Cousins, I got Kareem Hunt, and Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
I've had Zach Ertz and Kyle Rudolph. I've been playing mostly Zach Ertz, but he's on a bye this week. And I got Drew Brees as my backup. I'm doing all right, but my record should be better than 4-4. Yeah. But it's
and
weird.
I also on my running backs, I do have Denver Broncos rookie Philip Lindsay, and I have the Rams defense. So yeah, it's gonna be ugly. But that week 12, I believe, or week 13 is the Kansas City Rams bye week. I just might call that. I just might not even touch my roster and just call that. I'm gonna take one for the team game.
I am in my the Silver and Black UK League. I am tied for 1st though, out of 12 teams in this one. And this is the weird league where we have only 5 people on a bench, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10 people starting with 2 flex positions. It's really weird. But I'm tied for 1st, and I got Kirk Cousins, Kareem Hunt, Chris Carson, Adam Thielen, Devin Funches, David Njoku, Chris Godwin, DJ Moore, Matt Prater, and I got your Chiefs this week going up against Cleveland.
Yeah.
But I do have Jared Goff as my backup. Davin Cook still sitting there. And Marlon Mack was one of
Marlon
my good
Mack
pickups.
Marlon Mack has been a stud since he came back healthy.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Well, finally, Kevin, let's talk about our head-to-head, because you might be being frustrated in fantasy football, but you are definitely the man so far at the halfway point of season in the head-to-head competition.
Yes, these are our weekly football picks where we we bet on these points per game, and we have a couple of little fun little pick of the weeks and some other bonus points. And the loser has to give the winner a brand new $1 bill and tell them how awesome they are. And I went up another 4 games on you now. Now I'm up by, 14?
I'm still not Bob.
Bob, I have eclipsed the previous record of 28. I am now up 38 on him. Through the halfway season, and he should just write up that dollar pretty
soon.
But
by the way,
there's going to be.
I just gotta say, both of us have been horrible on our picks of the weeks, though.
Yeah, pick of the weeks are kind of tough, yeah. I'm up 3-2 with 8 weeks under our belt. I mean, that's okay. I mean, it's tough to pick up some of these upsets that we take, because normally when we bet with a line, so if you pick an underdog, you take the points, and you can win with that. So it's tough to see what some of these underdogs are going to do, because there's been some surprises that we haven't counted on.
Yeah, that is for sure. So, but man, it's hard to believe we are to the halfway point of this season already, Kevin.
Yes, and we have another little side bet of when at the beginning of this week's bets that we're going to have to pick what our bonus point Super Bowl match is going to be. And that is it started off as 10 points at the beginning of the year, where you get a 10-point bonus if you correctly chose the two teams that will make it to the Super Bowl. And I have a feeling you might be changing your pick.
Yeah, at the time I made my AFC team Jacksonville, I'll be sticking with my NFC team, which was the Rams. But yeah, my AFC team will definitely be changing.
Do I sense a man crush hometown thing going on? Maybe possibly.
It's possible. I have a couple more days to decide before I have to make my final decision.
All right, bro. Well, we'll see what happens. This has been a lot of fun, though. I'm glad you decided to do that this year.
So with that, I think we've kind of covered everything that's going on in the NFL. And Kevin, I know you're getting anxious to get over to number one pick bowl.
San Francisco, and it's the Battle of the Bay, buddy. That's what it is. Stop it.
Well, too, I want to give a quick shout out. We haven't mentioned his name in a while, but definitely go check out our buddy Murph over at Raiders Fans Radio and his YouTube channel as well. It's to the point where it's not even fun for me this season anymore, because it's just so.
Are you sad the Raiders aren't good, so we can't have a little fun with that?
Yeah. No, when you're a one win team, it takes all the fun away from it.
I'm sorry that the Raiders aren't here for your entertainment.
Hey, but come on! According to Chucky, everybody's dying to come play for the Raiders.
He's probably right about that. There's a lot of people that want to play for the Raiders.
They want to go to the Raiders so they can get traded by the Raiders.
You're saying the Raiders are a stepping stone in the NFL?
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to get big money from the Raiders, and then they're going to trade me to a team I actually want to play for.
Oh, they want to come for the Raiders because they want to get paid, because the Raiders have some money.
No, Kevin, let's tell the truth. The players that are dying to come to the Raiders are the ones that know they get to spend their days in Las Vegas.
That's part of it, I'm sure. Plus, when they get paid, they don't have to pay a luxury tax.
I wonder how the business at the Bunny Ranch will be.
But you know what news came across, though, that the Caesar's Palace has got a partnership with the Raiders for promotion. And you'll see like a Caesar's Palace, like, you know, luxury suite or something named after them, and a bunch of other stuff. So there you go. It's starting, man. It's starting.
However, Kevin, as much as I hate to tell you this, and the Raiders are...
No, you don't. No, don't even say that.
Aren't even going to be the team that's going to own Las Vegas, because I think the Golden Knights are the team that owns Vegas, because they love them some Golden Knights in Las Vegas.
They're doing well, but I'm sorry, but the NFL's king, man, and the Raiders are going to make a splash, that's for sure.
So
you watch.
It'll be fun, but you know what? I think this week, Kevin, we have to follow Todd Gurley, even though he stops 10 yards before the goal.
That was
line.
A smart play, man. But I know he was thinking of his fantasy friends. He was going, I got to do this for the game, man. I got to do this for the game.
Yeah. So, but you know what? We're gonna do what Todd Gurley did and make our way into the end zone.